Solomon chapter 1. Now I do want to actually read some passages from the Song of Solomon. But before I begin doing that, let me preface what I'm going to say with this, that, and I know this is probably very easily, could very easily be misunderstood. But do not look to the Song of Solomon to find doctrine established. Because the Song of Solomon uses many metaphors. And that's what they are. They're metaphors. They're not types and symbols. There are types and symbols established in the Scripture. They are figures. But the Song of Solomon is full of metaphors. The thing that we do is just look at some of these metaphors, and they may remind us of truth in the Scripture, Mason. It is truth, but remember this, we have no reason to believe that this was anything other than when Solomon wrote it. Solomon was writing about Solomon and the Shulamite, about himself and the Shulamite. But yet these metaphors describe a love that is beyond mere human love. The word love or its equivalent is mentioned some 65 times. That's quite a bit when you figure the shortness of this book, the brevity of the book, some 65 times. And it is, this love is poetically described in numerous, as I said, numerous and vivid metaphors. Some 18 times, and I've said this over and over, but I want to say it again, some 18 times Christ declares his love for, and he describes his love for the converted. That's who he's talking about here.
Yes.
Not only that, Christ also describes the beauties of the converted.
Yes.
Because salvation, and in particular conversion to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
It's a good thing. I know, you know, and I'll say one, I'll give you this, and I'll correct one thing Joe said when he said, our righteousness is filthy rags, and don't take it personally. Well, you better take it personally. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags, and it's a personal thing.
Yes, it is.
But we are so centered around the truth, and it is the truth of total depravity. What we ought not forget, though, is that which God Almighty creates in salvation is glorious.
Amen.
And is beautiful.
Yes, sir.
And that's what even Christ is describing in the Song of Solomon. But also, some 41 times the converted declare their love for Christ.
Yes.
But in the Scripture, love for Christ, our love for Christ, is never enthroned. We never enthrone our love. You see, when I read this, when I looked through this, I found, you know, Christ's love for the converted 18 times, the converted's love for Christ some 41 times. I figure that most religion, they love numbers. And they think that the multitude of numbers means superiority. But that's not necessarily so.
Right.
Now, we know that passage, what is it, Matthew chapter 7? About a broad road and many.
Yeah.
The great majority are on the broad road that leads to destruction and death.
Amen.
The reason the converted's love for Christ is mentioned so many times is because Christ is so glorious.
Amen.
He is worthy of love.
Yes.
He is due our love. So God's people never enthrone their love for him, but rather they enthrone Christ's excellencies. And his excellencies are exalted as absolutely worthy of praise and worship.
Yes.
Worship.
Exactly.
God's people worship Christ.
Amen.
If you don't worship Christ, you don't know Christ.
Exactly.
Because you cannot know Christ and not worship him.
Amen.
It just is an impossibility. Just as the natural man cannot perceive and comprehend spiritual things, the spiritual man loves and worships and adores spiritual things.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So this book then describes Christ's love for the converted in light of their conversion by God's grace. In other words, to convert. What does it mean to convert, to be converted? As a matter of fact, only one time does the scripture actually talk of convert. Almost all the references in the scripture are to be converted.
Yeah.
In other words, conversion is something that happens to a person. Conversion is something God does for a person. Conversion is not what a person does for God. That's the difference between Joe the gospel, or one of the differences between the gospel of God's grace and the so-called gospel of this world. This world is encouraging people to do something for God rather than proclaiming that God Almighty is doing something for His people.
Amen.
Somebody says that's just semantics. No, it's not. It's the difference between lie and truth. And God seeks such to worship Him. What kind of worshipers? Those that worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And you remember what I said last week. There are those who think, well, but this person or that person loves God in their own way. No, you love God as He is, or you don't love God at all.
That's right.
And that's just the facts. We bow to God by God-given faith, but we do so in light of who God says He actually is. And we bow to it, whether we understand it, even if it offends our sensibilities. Even if it offends our pride, even though it offends our pride, we bow down to who God is as He's revealed Himself in His Word. And this is a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. It was put by our Lord Jesus Christ, but He that in a good and honest heart. Now we know, you don't have to have me preach over and over to you about where that comes from. You know where that comes from. It must come from God. But the fact that Christ called it a good and honest heart means it's what? A good and honest heart. A good and honest heart. You see, it is the converted that love Christ. Look at it, chapter 1, verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, who loves you? Who does love Him? Therefore, the virgins love thee.
That's right.
Let me declare that God Almighty's people are not what they used to be.
Amen.
By nature.
Amen.
The flesh is still the flesh.
Yeah.
But there is something created within every converted person. There is something there that was not there before, and it is a creation of God Almighty Himself.
Amen. That's right.
It's something that's pure. Something that's lovely. It's something that's honorable. And it's something that bows to God as God is. Look at verse 4. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. And that's the way it works.
Yeah.
You don't just come into God's chambers. God doesn't invite people into His chambers. God Almighty must draw men and women into His chambers.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto Him.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, you teach that God makes people do things. That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
I'm not ashamed of that.
No.
Well, you make men out to be robots. Don't be an idiot. I make men out to be what they are, rebels against God Almighty. That's what we are.
Yes, sir.
But when God Almighty saves a person, He puts something in a person that loves God with all that it is.
Amen.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And there's no doubt about it. But that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
It is Spirit. And it's Holy Spirit created Spirit.
Yeah.
You see, it is of God. Look at verse 5. And only the converted can say this. First few words. I am black, but comely.
There you go.
Now, I know you read the commentaries, you know, and people try to take every word in the Song of Solomon. No matter what their approach to the Song of Solomon is, David, they try to take every word and try to give some meaning to it. There's one thing sure about this. I am black, not and comely. I am black, but comely. In other words, I am two opposite things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it's saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what it is. And only the converted can say that.
That's it.
There are a lot of people that claim it, but they don't have it.
You're right.
You see, the believer himself or herself is the only one that has both that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. Even the elect, even me, even you, before your conversion, you were nothing but flesh.
Exactly.
You were nothing but black.
Amen. Right.
You were nothing but corrupt. I was nothing but corrupt. Mm-hmm. No matter how religious or moral we may have been. As you said, Joe, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. And you know what that means, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know what that means. I heard a preacher one time say, it's like oily rags. No, he didn't say oily rags. No, it's not oily rags. It's talking about what a woman had to use once a month. That's what it's talking about. And you know what that is. That's what our righteousnesses are like. But let me tell you, we know his name, as the song said, his name yields the richest perfume. And sweeter than music, his voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all that's within me rejoice.
Amen.
Do you know that?
That's it.
Do you experience that? If you don't know who God is. Because if God Almighty has shown you who His Son is, you will not be able to help but rejoice in Him.
Amen.
I am black but comely. You see, the believer, the converted person, is an enigma to this world. We're an enigma.
You're right.
They can't comprehend us. Not only do they not comprehend the truth of God, not only do they not comprehend the gospel, they do not comprehend the believer either.
Amen.
They make these little jive remarks like, I know what you really are. No, you really don't. You only see one side of me.
Yeah, exactly.
You see the black part. That's easy enough seeing. But you don't see the comely part.
Yep.
Huh? Because the comely part is an inward thing. And it's a thing which even, Joe, if it was manifest to the world, they don't see it.
Exactly.
They're blind to it. This is why Paul says, and it's true, the gospel is a savor of life and the life and death and the death. It's true the gospel is that. But how does he put it? We are a savor of life and the life and a savor of death and the death. Why? Because we have this treasure, even though we're earthen vessels, we have a treasure.
Yes, sir.
And it's the truth of the glory of God as made manifest in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am black, but comely.
Amen.
Black is what I am by nature. Comely is what I am by God's creative power.
Exactly.
And that's just the truth. It's just the way it is. Look at verse 15. Now this is Solomon speaking, and in turn we could say, Mac, this is Christ speaking. And speaking of the Shulamite, Christ speaking of the converted. Look, behold, thou art what? Fair. It's amazing when you think that our Lord Himself gave the illustration, and we talk of the prodigal son, and rightfully so, because that's what he was. But the Father rejoiced in his son. Did he not?
Yeah.
My son, behold my son, which was what? Dead. Is now what? Alive.
Amen.
Do you see that? See, God honors his own work in his people.
Yeah.
God rejoices in his own work in his people.
Yes, sir.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair. Almost as if to say, get this. I love you. You see that? And I realize we're in such a world that, as Earl used to say, people love God like they love chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing.
Exactly.
It's not the same kind of love. At best, there are those who may philios God, but they do not agape God.
Yeah.
And usually when they begin to hear who God really is, then you'll find out how much love they really have. I don't believe that. That's exactly what we've been preaching for years.
Exactly.
I can't believe that. That's exactly what we've been preaching for years.
Amen.
They actually identify the doctrine, David, we preach.
Yeah.
By many of the statements they make.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe in a God like that. You're exactly right. You can't. You can't. Amen. Unless God Almighty breathes life into you, then you will not be able to help but believe in Him.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. God's people, those who are converted, they want to be with the converted.
Yes, sir.
If you'd rather be with somebody else, then you're deceiving yourself.
Yeah,
look, verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest.
Yeah.
Now, not where you eat, but where do you feed?
Yeah.
Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?
Uh-huh.
If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by what? The footsteps of the flock. You know, this is my wish. And I know it ain't going to happen. And I know it is a fleshly wish. But there are times when I wish God just kill every reprobate there is. Why? They are the enemies of my God. And they hate my God. They hate my God's gospel. And they in turn hate me as well.
Yes, sir.
We're fine to them if we keep our mouth shut. And it's the same way that it happened to Christ. And that's what he said. If they hated me, they'll hate you. Why is it that somebody doesn't hate you if you know the truth? It can only be two reasons. One, you don't know the truth. Or two, you're not speaking the truth as you ought.
Amen. That's right.
Because when you do, they will hate you.
Yeah.
And they'll even put it in legal papers, Paul.
Yeah.
Why? Because they hate God. And let me tell you, people have asked me, well, how do you know about that person? Just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yes, sir.
Just like a converted person tries to hide it, eventually, as Earl used to say, it'll leak out on you.
Exactly.
And when a person is not converted, I don't care how much they profess it, eventually it'll leak out on them.
Yeah.
Why? Our Lord said in that same passage, we talked about that broad road, and many there be that go in that at that broad way. He said, by their fruits you shall know them. Isn't that what he says? Because where there is life, guess what? It's going to manifest itself. And where there is death, you're going to smell it. Yeah. Hang around. Oh, there may be winters, Joe, when the smell of the decaying rot of human corruption is not quite as evident. But when the light of God Almighty's holiness shines down, that person will manifest what they really are. You'll smell the stink. And the stink will be coming from in here out of their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
God's people love to be where? In the footsteps of the flock. They want to be with God's people. See, this is why, you know, what I said about like last week, you know, if we're unable to meet that last Sunday of the month and have a dinner, it ain't because the last Sunday of the month we got to have a dinner. No, it's because I want to fellowship with you folks. I want to be with you. I want to sit and eat. And I want to hear you all talk together. And we talk about Christ and our troubles and our problems. Why? This is my family. And I know men have tried it, and it doesn't work. I would rather live with you all and just be able to, David, be away from everybody else. But that's not the way God's ordained it in this world.
That's it.
And that's why I said what I did. You know, it's not we got to eat at the last Sunday of every month. That's not the point. It don't matter what Sunday it don't matter if we gather together on a Saturday.
That's right.
The only thing that hinders us is distance, for the most part.
Yeah.
Distance. And because we're so far apart, I want to be with God's people. I don't have to be up here preaching. I don't have to be up here preaching. But you know what I do have to do? You know what I do? I can't help it. I have to be around you. I can't help it. I want to be. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. What did he do? He brought me to his banqueting house. If you made a decision to believe these things, you don't believe these things.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of like Bruce Crabtree said. He said, I don't like this conversion and people getting saved when they've never been lost.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Bones being set when they've never been broken.
Yeah.
People being healed when they never had a disease. most of the people that profess to be saved have never been lost. Now, yes, technically they are lost, but they've never known it. They've never tasted it. They've never experienced what it's like to find yourself being a wiggling maggot in God's sight. So much so that God Almighty says, your smell comes up and is a stench in my nose.
Exactly.
Isn't that what he says about us?
Yes.
By nature? God said, I looked at it. People talk about God looked into the future or God seeing what the future. Yeah, God told us, here's what I look when I saw the sons of men. There's no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after my face. That's what God said he saw in us, wasn't it? And let me tell you something. God Almighty still loved his people.
Amen.
And he creates within his people something that is lovable.
Yes, sir.
You know that? We ought to be grateful and thankful to God for it and live in it and rejoice in it.
Yes, sir.
Because we do have that which was in us which cannot sin.
Amen.
Isn't that honor? Isn't that glorious to think about? Look at chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love. And let me tell you, when he does, you will.
Yeah. Amen.
When he does, you will. Why are there many people who've never risen up? Why? Because he's never said to him, rise up.
Amen.
That's why.
Yeah.
Well, somebody says, you're blaming God. No, I'm giving God the credit for the rising.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. God Almighty saves whom he will.
Amen.
And that's something else the converted acknowledge, and they do so publicly. I won't read the verses, but you can let me just read the first one. Chapter 2, verse 7. I charge you. Now you think about that. It's like a command, isn't it? I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love. And look at those next three words. Three times this is stated. Till he please. You see, people who don't know the sovereign God don't know God. Now, I didn't say people who don't know about the sovereignty of God don't know God. I said people who don't know the sovereign God don't know God.
Amen.
It's not knowing the doctrine that brings you the benefit. It's knowing the God behind the doctrine that brings the benefit. And once he draws you, once he does what? Once he says, rise up, then you'll begin to understand. That's what sovereignty is.
Yes, sir.
You remember what was that leper? You remember what he said to Christ? He came to Christ and it says he did what? He worshipped him.
Yeah.
Now you either worship Christ or you worship yourself. One or the other.
There you go.
There are no two sides to that.
That's it.
And no matter what you have your heart and mind set on, it's either you love Christ and you worship him or you love yourself and you worship yourself. This is why everybody wants to make themselves try to stand out. I don't want to be like everybody else. You are like everybody else whether you like it or not. You might dress yourself up to look different than everybody else, but deep down inside, you're just like everybody else. You're just like me. And boy, that really ticks people off, don't it? Let one of these God haters come along and say, you're just like me. When they start running their pie hole and vomiting up all of their accusations against you. Yeah, you may well be right, but you know what? You're just like me. Except in this one thing. God Almighty, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, called my name and called me from death to life.
Yes.
And I love him and I believe him.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to say that.
No. That's it.
I'm not ashamed to say that. That's not me enthroning my love. That's me declaring what a great work he's done for me. Because I wouldn't have loved him otherwise. There was a time, Joe, when I didn't love him.
Exactly.
There was a time when that man right there was telling me the gospel and I hated it with everything I was. What happened? God Almighty changed me.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty changed me. Do not wake my love, what? Till he please.
Yeah.
And get back now. Back to that man who had leprosy. He worshiped Christ, and what did he tell Christ? Lord, if thou wilt,
amen.
If you will, you can make me clean. Couple things. This is faith. This is a God-given faith. And God-given faith always is manifest that way. Always. Well, that person never knew the sovereignty of God. No, but they're going to have to know and experience the sovereign God. And once they do, they'll begin to acknowledge it. And they'll say to everyone else, don't wake him up till he pleads. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know you can read this simply as just some love story. You know, just let my lover sleep. But you know what it's saying here, don't you? God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And what does faith say? One, it knows God has the absolute ability to do whatever God wants to do.
Amen.
The only question is, will he?
Amen.
That's the only question. God has the power and the right, the authority to do whatever he wants to do. The question is, does he want to do it? You know, does he want to? If God wants to do something, guess what? He's going to do it.
Amen.
Ask Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And you think sovereignty don't matter? You know? Well, I believe God's sovereign in everything but salvation. Then you don't believe in God Almighty. You've rejected who God Almighty is, because God Almighty in Romans chapter 9 sets a prism for us through which I must see every part of Scripture. If I'm going to look at God, God says, I will have mercy on whom I will. And I'll have compassion on whom I will. And whom I will, guess what else he does? I'll harden them. That's God's business. Somebody says, but that I don't like that God. That's tough. That's who God is. But this is why there are those other gospels, Joe, that are not another. Because men don't like who God really is, so they change the message. They change the message. As a matter of fact, it's so important that the Apostle Paul says, if you don't have this kind of grace, you ain't got grace at all.
Amen.
Free, sovereign, reigning grace.
Yeah.
That's the only kind there are.
Exactly.
That's the only kind that exists. I mean, I'm reminded of what Tim James says. And people talk about, you know, well, let God have mercy on you. Do you realize how asinine such a thought is?
Exactly.
That you offend someone, you've hurt someone, you've done someone wrong, and you're going to let them show you mercy?
Yeah.
Do you see the pride that reeks off such an attitude and such a spirit?
No.
It's rather, oh God, if you will, you can make me clean.
Yeah.
And what did Christ say to that leper? I will. Be thou clean.
Amen.
And bless God, guess what he was? Clean.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. God Almighty acknowledges his work when he does his work.
Yes, sir.
My love, my love, my love. Fair the dove's eyes. You see, look at all this language that here is Christ talking to his people.
Yes, sir.
Christ is not ashamed of us.
No.
You know that?
Amen.
And I know we must declare the truth of our absolute corruption in the flesh, but at the same time, we must declare the glory of God Almighty's salvation. It's real. It's not just a theory. Hebrews chapter 2 puts it this way. For it became him. Now you know what that means. Somebody said that becomes that person. It means it's right for him.
Exactly.
You know? It's an honorable thing. For it became him. For whom are all things. And by whom are all things. What does that mean? What it says. In bringing many sons unto what? Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Salvation is a glory.
Amen.
It's a good thing. It's an honorable thing. It's a thing that God Almighty honors.
Yes.
God in this same... Now, we'll come back here to chapter 2. Go over to chapter 13 and look at what it says here. Chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work.
Yeah.
Now that's what it says he'll do.
Amen.
We often say back, why did I do what I did? And if it's a negative thing, we got to blame ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I still got the corrupt flesh. But if there's anything honorable, God Almighty gets the credit. Not simply as theory, but because God Almighty is the instigator of it.
Amen.
Look. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is what? Well-pleasing.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
That's just as valid as Romans chapter 9.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight.
Exactly.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
God is pleased with his work in me. You see that? Yeah. Now go back to chapter 2. In bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are what?
Yeah.
All of one.
Amen.
You see, when God looks at you, God sees his son.
Exactly.
He is called, what's one of his names? Jehovah or Yahweh Tsidkenu?
Yeah.
The Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
And look, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them, what?
Brethren.
You see it? Brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. The whole tenor of that is, look! Look what I've got! You see it? He's pleased with us, Mac. Not because of us, but because of his work in us. The converted acknowledge that God Almighty is absolutely sovereign, or they don't know who God is. A person's not converted if they don't. Here was that Syrophoenician woman begging for the healing of her daughter. And what did Christ say? When she first asked, Lord, help me, what did he say? First of all, he said nothing.
Yeah.
He ignored her. Why? Why did he? Was there not reason there, Joe? Of course there reason.
Yeah.
Wait not my love one till he please.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to respond when he's ready to respond.
Exactly.
You see that? Mm-hmm. That's right. He will respond only when he's ready to respond. It says, and he answered her not a word.
Right.
Oh, but he was going to.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But he was not going to do it in the way this world thinks of. See, people have this idea, here's Jesus, and he's just waiting with bated breath for somebody to let him help them. Mm-mm. When he did respond, what did he say? She said, Lord, help me! Again. You know what he said? It's not proper for me to give the children's meat and cast it to dogs. What did Christ do? He put her where she really was.
Yeah.
So you see, God Almighty is going to bring you to bow to who he is and acknowledge who you are by nature. If you haven't ever been there, you've never been converted.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've accepted doctrines.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say you believe. It's not just belief. It is going through the experience of it. That's why you believe it. He said, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread and cast it. Actually, he said, cast it.
Yeah.
Like, throw it down. And what did she say? Truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Well, but that's the truth as she perceived it. No, that was the truth.
Yeah.
Truth is not a matter of, well, that's so-and-so's truth. No, there ain't no such thing as so-and-so's truth. There is the truth, and then there is lie. And that woman, I said, truth, Lord, truth. What you're saying's true. I don't deserve anything. She said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Amen.
She knew he was sovereign,
yeah,
didn't she?
Yeah.
And she knew that if I get anything, even if it's a crumb, Joe, it'll be good enough.
Yeah. Amen.
And our Lord responded and said, I have not seen such great faith, though not even in Israel.
Amen.
Because that's what faith is.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people think faith is just receiving some soteriological facts that Jesus did this and Jesus did that. He died on the cross for sins and he was buried and he rose again. The devils believe all that.
Yes, sir.
The devils know all these things to be a fact. The devils know he's absolutely sovereign.
Yes, sir.
Do they not?
Yes,
they know he's absolutely sovereign. Look at how some of them talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to take care of you, Jesus. No. They said, Jesus, are you going to take care of us?
Exactly.
Have you come to torment us before our time? Please let us depart into these swine.
Yeah, that's right.
No, God Almighty is sovereign. But the thing about it is, those whom God Almighty saves, they experience the sovereign God.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. There are a lot, you know, you are not educated into the kingdom of God. You're born into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You're not educated. I'm afraid there's been a lot of people, they've been educated in the doctrine, but they don't last. They can't last. Why? There's no root there. But when it sinks down roots, when this word hits the enlightened, the living soul, it will sink down roots that will hold the plant up, David. And it'll bring forth fruit. Some more than others, but all will bring forth fruit. Does it not? You know what the scripture says? No. Let me read it, chapter 3. I will read chapter 3. I've got to go back over to Song of Solomon. Chapter 3. Verse 5, look at what it says again. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love. When? Till he please.
Amen.
Now, are those to say, well, but since he says it that way, then he evidently can be awakened before he pleased. Don't be a fool.
Exactly.
Because let me try to tell you this. You ever woke somebody up who didn't want to be awoken?
Yeah.
Huh? You know the old phrase, let sleeping dogs lie?
Yeah.
You go try to wake God up if God ain't pleased to wake up.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Go ahead and try it. Huh? Isn't that what Simon the sorcerer tried to do?
Yes, sir.
And basically, Peter come to him and said, you got no part nor lot in this matter.
Amen.
That was hard words. Hard words.
Yes, sir.
Difficult. What? Who are you to tell me? I'm the one who knows the truth, Peter would say. I know him who is the truth.
Yes,
you do not manifest life from God.
Yeah.
How do I know? Quit playing games. Look. Watch. You'll see. Well, I might be wrong. So what?
Yeah.
You got a 50-50 shot at whether you're right or wrong. The whole point is, it says judge righteous judgment. Isn't that what the scripture says?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I know people love that scripture, judge not lest you be judged, but they need to read all of what that says.
That's exactly right.
It tells you to actually judge, but it says first judge yourself, then you can judge somebody else.
Yes, sir.
That's what it teaches. It doesn't teach the absence of judgment. It teaches self-judgment first. Always have your eye on yourself first, then you can help somebody else.
Exactly.
Because you know what? Even if you think, well, that person's an apostate, even if they weren't, guess what they still need to hear?
Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Right? They need to be warned. Except ye repent, you'll perish just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Isn't that what the scripture says?
Yeah.
You see, Christ's love for the converted is as the converted. And you can look at it. I'm not going to read it. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, when you compare this, here's the thing about it. Even Balaam, an apostate preacher, knew God was sovereign.
Yes, sir.
And yet most preachers don't.
Exactly.
Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You're right.
That boggles my mind.
Yeah.
He was at least honest enough to acknowledge, if God Almighty's blessed somebody, I can't touch them. Didn't he acknowledge that?
Yes, sir.
And notice what he acknowledged. I have not seen perversity in Jacob or wickedness in Israel.
Amen.
Was it because there was none there?
No,
it's because God refused to see it.
Amen.
And he could righteously do so because his son would bear the shame and the crime.
Amen.
That's why.
Yeah.
See, God Almighty calls those things which be not as though they were. And we ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
This whole book, read it. Now, there's more. We'll look at some other passages. But read through this and read it with this intent. I am going to see Christ and his relationship with the converted. And this book will open up to your eyes.
Yes, sir.
You will see tidbits. You may not, you know, the spices of Engedi and this and that. You might not be able to have Joe some truth to every phrase, but you will see, as I'll say it again, and sweeter than music his voice.
Amen.
His name yields the richest perfume.
Amen.
When you read this, you'll think, that's my Christ.
Yes, sir.
I love him. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with loving Christ. Is there?
No, sir.
I mean, you know, but I don't want to be proud in it. You will be. You will be, but you'll get over that. You'll get over that. God will show that to you. And one day you'll be done with even that when you awaken his likeness. You see, let us remember this. God Almighty, when it was illustrated in that father, when that prodigal son came home, what did that father do? He ran to meet him, and he laid his arms around him. And it says, and old Don Fortner pointed it out, and he's exactly right, he kissed him, and he kissed him. And he, that's the way the text is, the Greek, and he kissed him. And he just kept on kissing him. Why? Because the Father loved the Son.
Amen.
That's a glorious thing. And you know what? The Son loved the Father back too, didn't he?
Amen.
The Son was grateful for the Father. That's just the way it is. Father, may these things be real to us. May they be real to us. And Lord, may our enemies, you in your sovereign vengeance, not in our opinion, not in our time, in your sovereign vengeance, strike down those that hate thy word. I ask in Christ's name, amen.